Arcane Analysis is brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
The portals are open. The refreshments are conjured. Settle down for Arcane Analysis.
Welcome to episode 27 of Arcane Analysis. Tonight I'm joined by my co-host Tamlin and Allie, and we're going to talk about leveling 3.0.
After the Legion launch and after how much work I put into leveling alts and stuff in Warlords of Draenor, I really thought I would never, ever level a character from zero ever again. But I'm doing it again.
it's like a drug calling your name. Leveling is the gateway drug to the world of Warcrack.
And it's new and different. Ooh.
Or terrible and how dare you, Blizz, according to some. I'm pretty sure I've beat this horse very, very dead. I hate leveling. I can appreciate quest content the first time, kind of. But I would rather just chain run dungeons until I just can't anymore and it's just, like, not feasible, rather than go do quest things more than once, because reasons. I don't know. I die a lot and I get bored, whereas in dungeons I feel more powerful.
That's reasonable. But I enjoy leveling myself just because it allows you to kind of do something on your own a little bit, but when you're trying to level for the point of leveling a max, it can get tedious and kind of boring and frustrating. Unfortunately, the mean dungeons don't alleviate that.
I prefer dungeons because it's go, go, go.
Right. Like, you don't have to, especially before the leveling scaling changes where we have kind of one Azeroth. to steal from something that Elder Scrolls had done a few years ago and implemented something similar with the scaling, that you don't out level the zone in like 5 minutes. So you can complete zones and get through the storyline and appreciate what's there instead of, you know, spend more time traveling from zone to zone or continent to continent just to get stuff done. So,
and honestly, I think that was the longest part with leveling of during quests. It made it so much easier to just go to a dungeon and just queue in through. Whereas quests, it gave you a good chunk when you were right at the prime, like, targeted level. But as soon as you got over that, you started earning, quote-unquote, less experience. And that really slowed you down. So unless you were constantly traveling from zone to zone to zone, which takes time, it just felt really slow.
And I haven't leveled through the world in quite a few times, but I remember that there was a couple of instances where you got into that gap between zones where there was, or the gap between levels where there was only like one or two zones that you could actually level through. And if you hated them or you didn't like them, you were like, well, what am I going to do?
It was always the 50, the mid-50s was the worst.
You know what? You're right. That's what I was thinking.
Had the choices of, like, you had Burning Steps. No, it's not even Plague Lands. It's Burning Steps. You have Winter... it's at the north end of Kalimdor, above Hyjal, but you had that choice.
Oh, Wintergrasp. Wintergrasp?
It's not Wintergrasp. It's Winter
Something. That's in Wrath.
That's in Wrath.
What is that?
But you had that, or you had Silithus, which was absolutely horrible to quest through, or you had Blur, where the dark portal is. Blasted Lands?
Hellfire Peninsula. Blasted Lands, I think.
Blasted Lands. So those were your options. Like, you didn't have another choice. And none of those zones, well, one, they were almost very hard to get to. And honestly, even with the revamp, a lot of the story and quests were just hard to slog through.
Yeah, they made it better. Like, I've done... I haven't actually done and gone and leveled a tune out in the world, I think, since my original mage. Because I hated it that much, and that was such a terrible experience back in Burning Crusade. Other than going out and max level completing, like, the lore master things, I haven't done that since Cataclysm. Like, I've never gone through the new stuff. Like, I've heard it was better, and I've done a couple of quests here and there, because there was, like, a Firefly pet that I wanted from Burning Steps, and the Sunflower pet from Terran Mill in that area. And that's about it, just because it's mind-numbingly dull to me, and I don't want to speak bad of it. It's just the way that I like to consume content is quickly, or I need a friend. Like, the MMO part of MMOs is really what keeps me through the really itchy parts, is really I need important. A companion.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Like, having to, when I was trying to maybe sort of switch over to Final Fantasy XIV from primarily WoW, I would play, but getting through all the story stuff was so solo, and getting someone to play with you, particularly at the same time, ended up being very hard to do. And you lost that social feeling a lot of times, and it was just very off-putting. And, you know, like you say, you're losing the MMO side of it.
Right. Like, I think my boyfriend and some of his friends, right before Heaven's Ward came out, tried to suck me into it. They're like, oh, it's a good time to do the thing and go through the story. And I was by myself, and it was miserable. And I think at best I'm level 12 in that game, and I haven't picked it back up in like 2.5 years.
Yeah, I can definitely get behind that. So hopefully that this revamp will allow you to kind of get those feelings, especially if you can just kind of jump in and out of the story. Time will tell how that works, but like, if you can just choose another zone later on,
or choose to skip entire expansions at this point.
Yes. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, so like, I hated Burning Crusade questing. It was horrible. It's sorry bad. For those that enjoyed it, but Wrath of the Lich King was so much
smoother
in terms of flow and everything, and a lot of the zones were interesting. Now I will say Netherstorm, having quested through it once, was actually really interesting. It was just most of the time you never got there by the time I was leveling through, and so it just never felt like it was compelling or something that you wanted to do.
Yeah, it's an interesting zone. None of it makes any sense other than ethereals, but and that's kind of the goal with the leveling revamp, is that you don't have to skip around if you don't want to, or you can, you know, skip entire things because you can, because you don't like them, or you've done them too many times. And if you really, really want to skip all the stuff, you can still buy a level boost, which has its up and downsides. I think the biggest thing for me always is if I've boosted a tune with like the free one that came with recent expansions, is no rep, no gear, or not great gear, and you get kind of lost. Like, they have the starting scenarios, which for now are tailored to Broken Shore things, but you just get so much thrown at you at a time that it's a little daunting, at least to me. But
yeah, like, if you've never played the game and you buy a boost, I think you are definitely in over your head, in my opinion.
You're almost doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, and I hate to say it like that, because it's a very useful thing of, hey, we want you to play, you should check out this game called World of Warcraft and play with us. And, you know, like we're talking about with Final Fantasy XIV, having to slog through the old content can take forever, and it might feel like you're kind of on the other side of everything and kind of alone. Whereas if you get right in the action, sure, you're there, but unless you have somebody holding your hand, it's so easy to get lost and get confused and frustrated and just disoriented.
I can't count the number of times that I've seen new mages in the order hall, like, ask for help because they IDK L2 mage. so you know, I'll usually like whisper that. Pretty much, it's very much like even something simple of like, what stat do I care about? Because it's very, very different from spec to spec, and that sort of thing. But with that, if you're coming into WoW by yourself, nobody talked you into it, you didn't use recruit a friend, it's very, very overwhelming because you've got 13 years. 13 was the most recent anniversary. The 2018 threw me off a little bit. 13 years worth of content. And some of that's been kind of overwritten because Cataclysm did take away the old stuff. But it's still just a lot to take in. So unless you don't care about story and you just want to do the gameplay and mechanics, hopefully you've had some experience with MMOs to kind of know what you're biting into. But at this point, WoW is very much a game that I hope you have a friend that talked you into it so that they can, you know, answer your questions and not throw you to the wolves and even more so take advantage of the recruiter friend XP bonus, which was just announced that they are cutting in half. And a lot cutting of people beyond have... in half.
It's cutting in fourth.
Is it?
Yeah, I thought it was it going used to be from... yes. Yeah, it was 200 extra percent.
And now it's
50%.
Is it 50? I thought it was 150.
50. Yeah.
Okay. It's much. I thought it was half. Okay, my bad.
No,
I don't know how two percentages are. I can't do the math. Poof. That's right, because it was triple XP, so the 200% buff always kind of like
mm-hmm.
The mental gymnastics is special. Hi, I'm kind of dumb sometimes.
It's okay, we love you, shout.
Yay! But yeah, so they've severely reduced the XP bonus and also removed you can't stack with heirlooms, which if you're actually recruiting a friend that is a new player and not recruiting yourself on your same account, which
you never used heirlooms at that point anyways, but
right, if you recruited your like own main Battle.net account, you could use heirlooms on both accounts if you were gonna do the double potato-y thing, but likely you would have to forego those anyway if you're actually recruiting another person just to kind of keep the playing field similar.
Some of the heirlooms you can just outright buy, correct?
Yes. If you were a certain rep within a guild or something?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They put the requirement on the rep.
Cloak? No, not cloak. Legs for sure. Legs. Guild.
Legs and not hat.
It's legs. Hat or cloak?
Maybe it's hat? Cloak? I don't know.
I can't remember.
Potatoes.
It's been so long. I've had them for right. such a long time. I know, time. Right? And then, like, the person that you go to buy the upgrades for them, because the original heirlooms still only get you to 60. So you have to get the ones from 90 and then from 90 to 100 upgrade, which gets pretty expensive pretty fast. So if you're a new player, you're probably not going to have the gold to shell out for those. At least not right. in the original leveling experience. Like, once you get to max level, like, gold just comes out of your ears, but as a new player experience, you don't get much. You really don't.
Right, and even if your friend who was recruiting you could give you the gold, you couldn't go and outright buy the heirlooms because they, if I remember correctly, they gate it. You have to be like honored within the guild.
Which doesn't take long, but it's still significant enough that you're not like starting level one.
Exactly. So you can't just like go hop with your, you know, in your friend's two-person mount to go to the vendor to go get some experience boost.
Right. And that's another thing that you don't have if you're a fresh player is that if you have enough heirlooms, you get the heirloom mount that you get for level one, which is super snazzy. So there's lots of kind of quality of life nice things for, you know, veteran players to take advantage of, but it's really a disservice to new players, especially now that things scale properly. You don't want to scale them too high so that it's punishing to new players, and you don't want to make it too easy because it defeats the purpose of the scaling to begin with. So it's kind of a catch-22, and I don't think the tech is there to well, it would make no sense to balance them out. Like, if it takes you the same time to do the thing, why have any of the buffs at all? Which would be interesting. Like, it almost feels like that's kind of what they wanted to do, but I can't possibly imagine players being very happy with, I spent, you know, 40,000 gold and then some on my heirloom gear, and now it doesn't even give me XP. But at least you have the luxury of having gear items that scale with you, which is super, super nice. Like, I wish at some point in time we actually get, like, a full, what is it, like, 16, 17 slot setup of all the things. Because being, like, level 60 with a
level 40 piece of gear, that used to happen.
I was thinking like a level 20 belt.
Yeah, no, well, let's see. I've had Miss Pandera gear when I hit max level on some of the alts that I finished up.
What?
Yeah, there was no drop, like, for improvement over what I had.
Wow, that's really wow. But interesting. I mean, like, I guess if you're just leveling through dungeons, like, you can easily have that happen. But if you're questing, like, there's definitely something.
I was doing a lot of invasion events.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so then you're at the whim of something dropping for you properly.
Yeah, a couple of my plate-wearing things, because A, I'm cheap, and I just threw the cloth heirlooms on them to level. Mm-hmm. In between the, like, Legion launch invasion pieces of gear. So some of those, like, by the time I hit 910, I had, like, 500 item level gear, which is almost, you know, 300 item levels different. It made those tunes very, very squishy. And it made it hard to do, but, you know, that's kind of the punishment that you have to accept if you're going to try and cheese the system. So it's a very delicate balancing game, but me having never really taken advantage of the recruit a friend experience, like, I've bought recruit a friend for myself because I wanted the kitty mount because it's amazing and it's a passenger vehicle. But I just shelled out, like, I, you know, bought the brown box for $5 at Christmas and referred myself and, you know, paid for the 2 months and, you know, was very happy just paying $35 for my mount that I could just buy from the store. That was an equitable exchange. I didn't even bother with leveling characters because I didn't want a dual box. I don't know if I know how to dual box. I've had people try to teach me and I cannot multitask well enough for that, I think, or something. But,
well, you see, like, other people, like, I've definitely taken advantage of Recruiter Friend. Like, before Miss Pandaria released, unfortunately, Heirloom still only went to 60, if I remember correctly, or maybe they were touching going to 70, but I think it was still 60. But I leveled, what was it, 7 or 8 characters to 60. And then even with the leveling bonus without heirlooms, I got 5 of those characters all the way to 80 before I think the recruit a friend experience cut off, which was ridiculous. And that was only within a month. So I didn't even spend extra time on a game time. I just bought the box and the base box and then the Wrath of the Lich King expansion. So for total, I think I spent $40 and leveled essentially 8 tunes, or 5 tunes completely to 80. And then I even had the extra bonus of, you know, the granted levels for as soon as Mists of Pandaria release, I could grant my brand new monk all the way to 80, which is as far as you could do with grantable levels as well. So it was just kind of this, like, total abuse of a system. And if you look at it nowadays, for, again, what, $40, that many characters to that close to max level is absurd, especially when Blizzard has other means of getting you, you know, to max level, particularly with the boost right. that you can purchase.
At the time, there weren't boosts, so that was the only, like, you had to manually slug
that
it through.
That was the way.
And Recruit a Friend was the only kind of, like, band-aid that you could have on that experience of trying to get alts, because I'm not going to blame anybody for having one of every class, you know, maybe one for each faction for your main, which I almost have, minus Rogue, I think. Because reasons. yeah, but like, I've been playing this game for a long time. I'm eventually going to venture out and test out other things. I still love my mage, so she's still my main, but I've definitely tried playing other classes just for the sake of like understanding gameplay for, you know, either PvE or PvP reasons. But that was the kind of gimme that we got, is that you could refer yourself and kind of cheese through it. Now that, you know, hey, in case you guys forgot, Blizzard is a business. They do have a bottom line. They do have investors that they have to answer to. So once the tech was available that, you know, not only could you faction and server change, which you couldn't do for many, many years, you can also boost a character. And they give you one free with every expansion since Warlords, which is nice. It's something. And for me, that's more than plenty. Because I have wasted those for various reasons, one or another, kind of frivolously, because I don't think I play any of those tunes, but I usually only transfer my main when I move from server to server, and then I just go and, like, cheese a Death Knight and cheese a Monk, because there's, like, the daily quest of the XP boost, so you can kind of weasel them up. Like, I take advantage of the in-game stuff, but I've never really done the Recruiter Friend thing, and it's pretty, pretty crazy, but we're this many years down the road, there are services that you can pay for to skip this grind, because time is money, friends. Sometimes that money is worth more than the time that you invest to do the thing. And that's okay. And, you know, some people either absolutely refuse to pay it. I'm one of them, so I will hit my limits of how much leveling I hate to avoid paying the $60. And then there's some people that straight up just can't afford it, but you can. Blizzard's going to want something from you. It's either going to be your time or it's going to be your money. That's just how publicly traded businesses work, or even not publicly traded, but that's just how a business works. So they're not a charity. They have these services. You can take advantage of them. And I feel like these were nerfs, chances are, if you weren't paying for boosts beforehand out of principle or whatever, you're probably still not going to do it. And so, like, when I first saw the Recruit a Friend changes, like, I thought it was really, really crappy. It sounds horrible.
Most people don't take advantage of that.
I've never taken advantage of the Recruit a Friend. Like, the person who got me to play WoW, we did the Recruit a Friend thing. I think we leveled maybe 3 or 5 levels, and then I was thrown to the wolves. And I just never took advantage of it, so I didn't really have that bonus, and I've never recruited anybody since then. Or at least not thrown them the Recruit a Friend invite. I'm sure I've suckered people into playing WoW with me at one point in time or another. But I realized that it was something that I was kind of very irked about, that literally has no impact on my gameplay. It doesn't affect me. I'm still not going to Recruit a Friend myself to actually, like, boost tunes. So in that regard, I was kind of like, eh, okay. And it really feels like the integrity of introducing the leveling, like, Recruit a Friend was targeted at recruiting a new person to the game to get them to buy the subscription, to get them to buy the expansion. It wasn't to double up on yourself and cheese the system. That was never the intent. It was a really nice byproduct. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's great in theory, but that was never the intent of how that to be used. It was just convenient that you could.
So, and there were no other options at the start. And now that there are options, I think it's fair for Blizzard to suggest you use an option, which, honestly, if you're only gonna level 1 or 2 characters, it might still be worth it to pay the more for the individual boosts, just because you get so much more out of the results of it.
Right. Recruited friends still capped at level 85. So there's still like the meat and bones of the heavy slogging you still have to do.
And honestly, like the people they were targeting are literally the people that are just abusing the system. And
yep.
It's not something that you have to, like, the average player, the average soul, the, I would say even beyond that, like, most, and I mean, like, most players are never going to ever experience this change. And the ones that do are not going to be bothered by it. Just because, like, as you said, the goal is to recruit a friend to play with and experience the content as, and honestly, I loved leveling the first time I played the game. I took my time through it just because I was in awe at this huge world and things of that nature. And having a friend who did get recruited and was blitzed through the content, she eventually went back and leveled another character, and I leveled with her mostly because I wanted a friend to do it again, and she had never seen it before. And again, we took our time, but she was like so in awe, kind of like I was, because she never saw the game this way. She saw it a completely different way, and it kind of like threw off as leveling as was pointless and silly and stupid and not worth anything. Whereas, you know, having that second, you get to experience the stories of each of the zones. And sure, you may not have to touch like 7 or 8 or 10 zones or something during, or 20 during your leveling. Now you can maybe just hit, you know, 6 or 7 or something like that. But you're going to experience the whole story. You're going to experience what led your character to that point. Maybe not necessarily what led you to that point, but you're going to go start to finish if you really want to. And some of those zones have some really cool story, having done Lore Master a couple times. It's just especially if you're reading the quest tags, it's cool that I can go back and level a new character, especially with allied races coming through again, that I can, you know, poke around and actually read the quest texts and relive the story a bit more.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, allied races are coming, and there are cosmetic rewards for leveling a new allied race tune from, you know, 1 to max. And as with anything cosmetic,
max, but...
right, that's right, it's 20. Really, those 20 levels go pretty fast. Even I could admit those go pretty fast. But okay, so 20 to 110, you know, and then eventually 20 to 120 when Battle for Azeroth comes out. But I have a strange itching feeling that we're probably going to see those before the expansion actually drops. As with anything cosmetic in this game, they want you to work for it. There's... Even if it's like the moose and now the shiny iridescent bird thing, like they're non-power related items and you have to put in the work for them. So that school of thought is at least consistent for Blizzard from a dev standpoint of, if you want the cool, shiny, pretty thing, you're going to have to work for it. And that includes dialing back the ridiculous cheesing. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's still a market for it, for people to do that and then sell those accounts. And so if it's harder, it discourages that very much terms of service violating sort of progress.
I really don't think that the refer a friend changes is going to actually change significantly the target audiences, which is the recruited friend, not the, you know, abused max leveling characters as quickly as possible. And all the other changes to leveling, I like them, and I think that from a gamer point of view, I have some questions about, like, well, what is a level if everything levels up with you? But that's I don't know, that's kind of esoteric and not really, you know, part of the discussion.
Right. But I'd be curious to see if the actual time invested is because I just, life hasn't granted me the opportunity to try and level one up, which I will do maybe once or twice, A, to test it, and B, to get my allied rice. A nice bowl of allied rice.
You heard it first.
I probably won't faction change to a Nightborn, but I still want one. Just reasons, because elves. But the thing that I hope the most is it doesn't... I like the scaling to keep the consistent difficulty, even though sometimes I really, really hate it on a squishy tune.
Oh, gosh.
It's still more engaging. But at the same time, I don't want the ultimate time from start to finish to be dramatically longer. I don't think it needs to be, just because there are so many levels to blow through. But just having the experience be non-trivial is important to me.
Yeah, I've only gone to from 0 to 15 since the changes, and I would say that it's probably going to be faster to level, because you are not leveling out of zones and leveling out of quests fast. You're able to stick in one spot, so that like your travel time is drastically reduced. You can stay in a zone and do the quest in the zone as long as you'd like, and usually that means that things are going to go by quicker.
The only concern I have for this system is, especially for newer players looking at it, they're probably going to come in and say they're an undead and they follow the traditional path. So that's Tearsfall Glades, and then moving down to, wow, why can't I remember what that next zone is?
Silver Pine Forest.
And so by the time they get into Silver Pine Forest, they're probably 15 or so. And then you can probably take that to 25, 30. You move over to the next zone, which I, again, blinking Hillsbrad. On right now. Hillsbrad, thank you. I wager you can probably get to the 40s if you do all the quests and finish out the zone. And then you could either go either up to Plaguelands or down to Arathi Highlands. Arathi for Horde has a pretty decently long quest chain and stuff. So you could probably get to your mid-50s or at least 50 by that point. And how many zones have you gone through? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe? And you lose, you know, even looking at, you know, maybe if you even do Eastern Plaguelands, you probably don't touch Western Plaguelands. If you stick in that zone, well, you don't get down to Wetlands. You don't get down to Burning Steps or Blasted Lands or anything like that. You don't go all the way over for Kalimdor. You're probably not going up into Fellwood or even down to Feralis. And those are some awesome zones, and I think you're going to probably lose out on a lot of that travel and experience how big the world is, and that's the one thing that I'm curious about and hoping that this revamp doesn't cheapen that experience. Because some of these zones, especially some of the more obscure ones, have awesome stories and awesome quests. And gosh, they're the things that I purposely would always stop doing dungeon queues over just to go hit up those that zone for a few quests or a few levels, because I'd overlevel them. But it was cool to get in and get the feel of the zone and start playing around with that and realize that this world is huge, and especially the original map is just so diverse and so exciting.
I was just about to ask if there through leveling, was there a quest that you always look forward to doing again?
Oh goodness. I would say it's definitely for me the Ice Crown quests where you're mimicking or following Arthas. If I could get up to that point without completely blasting through the zone, I would try to do those. Those were always a lot of fun, and there wasn't a whole lot of travel that distracted you from it.
I remember before Cataclysm, finding Mancrick's wife was always always worth a chuckle. She's still there, dude. And then I think you're right. But I think that like Wrath is more nostalgia to me because I leveled up with friends, and so we were in questing but also running a lot of dungeons. So I didn't get to see a lot of content until I went back through and tried to get Lore Master. But Wrath, there was the one quest in Icecrown Citadel where you find the Crusader who's passed away, and then finding like the out of game, you know, reason they put that quest in there.
Enlighten me, because I actually don't remember that.
I remember the quest, but I don't remember the story behind it.
I don't remember if it was a player. It was somebody who was important to Blizzard enough that they put him in the game. He had died of cancer. And so it wasn't just they put him in as an NPC. They put in the story of this Crusader who was wasting away to disease.
Oh, you know what? Now I remember the quests, and that would make sense to something like that. And that's kind of sad to hear.
It's very sad, yeah. But it's also really cool.
The other thing that I would say is, like, some of the quest hubs that people forget. With the Cataclysm revamp, Desolus is actually a really cool quest hub. And I think people forget about it just because it is so far out of the way from pretty much everything.
Yeah, I'm absolutely racking my brain and trying to think of a quest line that really stuck with me. Like, I think one of my most prominent memories from leveling was going through Arugal is the last boss. Like, the... Oh, goodness. I can remember the dungeon. They redid it for Cataclysm, like one of the old dungeons, like they did like Scarlet Monastery and stuff like that. Other one. It's...
Scholomance?
No, not Scholomance. Not those ones.
Interesting.
I think it's... I don't know. Everybody says
it's Scholomance. It's... Yeah, I'm dumb.
You're not dumb.
I'm the dumb sometimes.
It's like the Draenor Draenor. There are pronunciations of both that are done by, you know, voiced by NPCs in different spots in the game. So,
Are you talking the castle one?
Yes, with the wolf people
in Silverpine Forest.
Yes.
Oh.
I can't think of the name of it, but I know where it's at. Oh, it's in the
like I know it, the entire pathing through that whole place, like the old one and the new version, because I loved it because it was just a really funny spot that like I remember.
Yeah,
but I can't really think of some quests that stick out. Maybe Fellwood, because like the fell tainted kitty pet
that the you hunters. Could yes, that looks like the He-Man battle cat.
Yes.
Yep.
That's the one that I remember.
and now, after the Cataclysm change, I love going through Silver Pine Forest because you get to hear Sylvanas just go off about Arthas.
Yep.
Yes.
It's kind of cool, but it's kind of weird with hearing the back and forth between of like, oh, well, this was back after Cataclysm and after... Wrath of the Lich King and after Burning Crusade, but wait, it's before.
Yes.
It's always a little weird to hear that.
There are weird buzzes of time in Azeroth.
What I completely forgot is doing Un'Goro Crater since the Cataclysm revamp. It with
Lincoln? Un'Goro Crater has the like Legend of Zelda reference quest line.
Oh, is that still in there?
Yes, I'm like 96% sure.
No, I was thinking of
Silverfang Keep. That's what it is. Yay!
Yeah, yes, my wife. my wife is sitting next to me and she overheard and she messaged me.
That's amazing. Oh goodness, yes, Silver Fang Keep. That's the one. There we go. Mystery solved. Ah. There's so much, and that's the thing, is that, like, the world is so expansive. It's easy to have gone through all the things and, like, forget just because there's not enough brain space for it all.
Sorry.
There's just, like, little snippets of moments that, you know, catch your memory. Like, for me right now, for Legion, the Runus questline, that one's going to stick with me for a really long time because it just really hit me hard in the feels, but...
Mm-hmm. Which questline was that?
Runus, in Azuna.
In Azuna.
Like when you do the dragon one and you get the withered dude, and then he turns into one of the crazed ones in his last.
Oh, yeah.
You know, thanks for giving my last moments meaning. And I just, I was dead. I got a little misty-eyed for that one. I get a little misty-eyed just thinking about it. But that, and the voice actor that does Runus is, like, a very, very, I can never remember his name, but I can always recognize his voice.
Is that's a the very first thing prolific I told
voice actor, and I adore that dude, so.
Yeah, it is, because I started playing the game, started in Legion over in the Valkyr area, and he is the voice of one of the guys that you meet there. And I instantly recognized his voice. And the thing is that I recognized him from Star Wars Galaxies. It was from the Clone Wars, the anime. Or not anime, but cartoon.
Yeah, Jim Cummings. That's who it is. I had to look that one up.
Gotcha.
But he is like Sonic the Hedgehog, Darkwing Duck, Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Aladdin. So yeah, he's a good one. Like once you kind of key on how he does things, you can kind of always recognize him. But that's one of those that it's got an auditory trigger as well, is just like a really touching story. So
but I think, like, if you can go to Un'Goro Crater if you haven't leveled there, because the Link quest was actually removed with Cataclysm but replaced with a Don Quixote. So you're going around chasing dragons or dinosaurs and saving damsels in distress with Maximilian running around beside you the whole time. And it's absolutely ridiculous and funny. Oh my gosh. I remember leveling with a friend down there and we just ended up in Un'Goro Crater because why not? And it was probably 3 or 4 in the morning during college and we were just splitting laughing as we were questing through this stupid zone.
Good times.
I remember they had the Donkey Kong. Did they take that one out too?
You know, I don't know.
No. I don't even know where that one's at.
Was the apes inside one of the caves and you had to collect the barrels that they were throwing at you or something like that?
Oh, that's right. The white gorilla that's over there that I think you can tame as a hunter for a pet. Or is it Amy? I think it got replaced by Amy, the robot one, maybe.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Okay.
I don't know. There's lots. There's, like, I have a terrible memory, so, like, once it gets jogged, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That was hilarious, and that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, there's this, and oh, yeah, there's that, and oh.
It's almost like, especially because some of us that have been playing this game for a really long time, it's almost kind of remembering dumb crap from your childhood, because in a way it's like a second childhood for your little baby character. Get all feelsy about it and that fun stuff. But I'm trying to think if there's anything that we really missed with the leveling shenaniganery.
I had one question that I had written down that I don't know the answer to. And that is that we were talking about how when you're leveling up now, the zone scales up with you. And I know that in Legion during the launch, that during the invasion events, the NPCs scaled their leveling regardless of who, you know, if you were level 15, you saw it as like a level 16 or a 17, but a level 100 would see it as like level 102. Do you know if you party up, if that still remains? Because that might be a very interesting way to get like older veteran players to play with newer players.
Well, the thing
it's percentage-based, so because yeah, you could still...
But to right, a so point.
If you it have like a level... Point. So if you have like a new player who you're playing with and you've got an alt that's like level 40, could you be able then to be able to party up with them and you're getting experience at a rate appropriate for a level 40 character and they would be getting experience appropriate for their level?
I don't think 100% because
a hard cap.
Right. So if you were 110 and you wanted to go carry your buddy through Hellfire Peninsula, it would be as if you're going back and killing at Matt. What is it? I think it's 80.
Yeah, it's 80,
60
yeah.
to 80 for right. the Wrath and BC content. So it would be like if you were mowing down level 80 characters, and I think that's where it would cap out, whereas the percentage for the lower level character that was running through would scale with them appropriately. So there are limitations
right. so
to
you
it,
couldn't,
which makes sense.
You couldn't, yeah, you couldn't take your max level character. I'm saying like if you have, you know, hey, I've been dinking around with this character and they're not max level yet, and you could, you know, while you're running around in the world leveling and you run across a new player or you just run across another player, like, could you now group up with a significant level disagreement?
Zones have caps to them, and it's not like you can't go on forever in that zone and you can't come back. And I think originally there was some question on where zones like Arathi Highlands originally... said that I think it starts at 30 or something like that, or 30 or something. And there was originally concern whether it would go to like 55 or all the way to 60. And based on the data I've seen, it would go to 60. But if you were 24, you can't get into Arathi Highlands. But if you're, say, if one person's 25 and you're in Hillsbrad or something like that, where quests are 25, you're fine as long as you're up to, I think, 58 or 60.
Yeah,
but
so
if
I'm
you're
looking
in the
at...
entrance zones, you have to go to, I think it's only caps out at 10 or 15 to make sure that you're leaving the, you know, entry zones at least.
Right. So as long as both of the people are within the level range for that zone, they would be able to play together without it being a disadvantage to one or the other.
Correct.
Yeah, certainly.
So,
it's just like
if you're on
leveling.
Eastern Kingdoms and you are level 45 leveling through there and you come across somebody that's level 16, you can group together, you can kill the same things, and the difficulty will be equally scaled for both of you. Once you hit level 60 cap, then it's not going to be the case. But like Hillsbrad Foothills, I'm looking at a screen grab of a map, is scaled for level 15 to 60. So you can kind of hit it whenever you want to. And get that experience.
Yeah, I think that's also another significant benefit to the game now. Because before it was, if you were in that sweet spot for that zone, there was no reason for you to be in it.
Right, and that's what they wanted to remove. Like, they wanted to make sure that you couldn't go back to the starting zone and, you know, be level 109 killing boars and have them kill you if you mess up, but at least give a much more seamless, meaningful process through some of the zones. But they didn't just make it 100% scaled. It's still tiered based on the expansion in which it took place, with the exception of... BC and Wrath content being interchangeable, and Cataclysm and Pandaria content being interchangeable as to when you want to jump into them. So you could go straight from Nagrand and jump into the Jade Forest if you want to, once you hit that leveling cusp, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I have a chart which actually details out all the zones. I'm just trying to find it. So I'm kind of half, I was half paying attention, but from what you said, it sounded exactly like what I was trying, I think what both of us were trying to convey.
Yes. So yeah, there's limitations to it, but there's still a pretty broad range.
I mean, it was like when we were leveling through Legion, I was level 102 and a friend was 106, and we were in the same zone doing the same quests, and it was cool because we were both looking at our mobs and seeing, oh, well, that's a 102 mob, and oh, well, no, that's a 106 mob, and I'm like, what? This is crazy.
And the level 102 weird. Character was spanking your butt on DPS versus the 106 character?
Yeah, that was always fun in dungeons. We're like, what's going on here? Why is the 102 doing like 30% more damage than me?
Yeah, and then with the addition of world quests, so there's even reasons for max level players to go into those zones. I think that that's like one of the big questions about older MMOs is like, how do you get older players interact, or not older, but max level characters interacting with the world in a significant and meaningful manner? And I think that with zone scaling and world quests, they really answered that question, which makes me wonder that in the future, will we see world quests in new zones that we've been through before?
I think it depends on how, what their scope and scale is for another expansion and what they're trying to tell, both with the story and with the design of the game. I don't know how to describe this exactly. But like for Cataclysm, they wanted you to get kind of back into the world. And while they didn't really add new zones, they did add new zones. And they were trying to kind of, I guess, recenter the story a little bit. And it'd be interesting to kind of look at, like, if they were trying to, instead of adding new zones and stuff like that, but if they did some sort of a revamp of a phased zone. So like some of the older zones phase out, like you see with Silithus now after you've killed Argus, or you know, Blasted Lands and stuff like that, for Warlords of Draenor, you know, having that phasing might be something that they could integrate, and then, you know, allow having those world quests available in the old world. Now, whether you're still really interacting with the people from, you know, that are leveling through there, probably not, maybe, I don't know. But it'd be kind of cool to have that, you know, going back and re-seeing the whole world in a different light. But that's hard to probably put into test, because you still want characters to feel like they're experiencing new content with an expansion, not, you know, kind of doing the same thing over again, which is something that they've kind of had to tread on lightly, with how much content they quote unquote recycle, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that was a thing that I was gonna had forgotten about. So, like, I guess one of the very interesting things that people may want to speculate on is, why are they doing this to begin with? Like, why make this old content? Why spend any time on this old content? Because A, they need to attract new players, but it's not really feasible to revamp everything so that it's approachable for everyone. So they kind of have to make do with what they've got, because if we want Cataclysm level revamped content, it's going to cost us an expansion. Like, might as well, if Battle for Azeroth wasn't the thing. So like, let's say 9.0, if you guys wanted revamped content from, you know, Mankirk's wife to, you know, the present content, just because I couldn't think of anything else, and wanted all of that revamped so it was worth bothering to deal with again, that would be 9.0. And then after the, like, storyline for Battle for Azeroth picks up, then we could pick it up in 10.0. And that would probably go over as well as Cataclysm did, because a lot of people were really not thrilled with that expansion because it felt very dry. But the sheer amount of content that they put in was a lot, but because it was just tweaked of content that a lot of people had already gone through, it felt very sparse. Yes, they added a handful of new zones, but you could truck through them pretty quickly. And at least for me, like, the new content was meh. I dabbled in a few bits here and there because I wanted the new, you know, lore master achievements and never got them. Maybe one if I'm lucky. But like the raid content was great. But that's about it. There were lots of things that people were just not very satisfied with. And it's kind of one of those, like, would it be feasible for Blizzard to take that risk of revamping everything for everyone? How many players would still not go back to that old content? They would only consume the things that are new and shiny, no matter how cool they made it and, you know, upgraded the tech and the graphics and the art and all the stuff. It just, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost something because the teams just aren't that big. There's not that much money. There's not that much production time to be able to create a full, amazing, new, interesting, shiny expansion and revamp all the stuff to keep the last 13 years worth of content relevant. It just ain't gonna happen. It's unrealistic for someone to expect that that's possible. Mm-hmm. There's still people. They need weekends off and to sleep occasionally, you know, to see their wife and kids.
Lies and slander.
No, nobody wants to do that.
I call Cataclysm, it's like Warcraft 2.0, because the revamp to the zones, it was more about creating more logical quests progression. Because before Cataclysm, like, I tried to get, I actually did. I got Lore Master before and after Cataclysm. But sometimes those quests just didn't make any, it's not that they didn't make any sense, but you didn't, like, you know, it was like, oh, you had to do 55 quests in this zone and you're stuck at 53 and you're like, I have no idea what to do, where to go. And, you know, there's like, even if you go online and look for them, it's like, well, did you do this one? Yeah, I did that one. Did you do this one? Well, yeah, I did that one too. And you're like, I don't know which one I'm missing. And then after Cataclysm, Lore Master was so much easier because it literally, you walk through the zone and a path that was kind of laid out for you.
You didn't have to do the extra hunting and like searching for random things, like a quest on an item that's off in the corner that you have to loot. And it's like, you know, those are the weird kind of the niceties and fun things that, you know, made up of what Classic was, but
which is why we're gonna get it again eventually. Yay, Classic series. But it's I think in things that I've seen in interviews is that, like, when they did WoW, they didn't expect it to be
so huge and long-lasting.
Like, to literally go viral, I guess, in the best sense of it. Like, they never thought that they were going to even be able to make Burning Crusade, let alone, you know, still be here 13 years later. So Cataclysm was a chance for them to give some life, some cohesion, some clarity to those zones that they thought, you know, would eventually not be around for this long. So, but I just don't think at this point it's worth going back and doing again. Because at this point, we are actually more time has passed since Cataclysm than time before the launch of Vanilla to the launch of Cataclysm, which is kind of wild. Like, yes, there are definitely things that are long overdue for it. Eversong Woods is, I love it.
Gosh.
But it's
nope.
Bad.
I mentioned that I had leveled from 0 to 15 and I did it all through Eversong Woods.
Yeah, I've most of my characters are blood elves, so I've been through there to, you know, before I can get to 15 and queue for dungeons a fair few times. And it needs
a working too.
It needs help.
Needs a lot of help. But it's no different than Azure Mist Isle either.
Right. And it's because of the way that, again, those areas were kind of designed, because I think the way that expansions are done now is that by the time that we actually see released content, a very large chunk of the workforce for the WoW team is already working on the expansion after that. Not all of them, but a good chunk of them, because it's things are done in a very cyclical motion. And at the beginning, they didn't have any reason to believe that they'd be able to keep going. So there were, like, they had to play catch up to get Burning Crusade out in a reasonable amount of time because people were starving for more content. And so there were kind of shortcuts that were made. You can do like some Google Foo and YouTube search of people that have gone in and used not particularly legal means to go look at those zones from perspectives like from the air, which is why we don't have flying in those zones, because they're not part of the greater continents of Kalimdor and Eastern Kingdoms. They are completely separate zones, as if they were like a raid instance, which is why there's no flying. You can't fly from the Blood Elf starting zone to Quil'Danas.
Like lands.
And that sort of thing. That's why there's a loading screen from Eastern Plague Lands to Tranquillion, even though you can walk right through the portal. It's because they're literally instants. And so they were meant to be viewed from the ground. And there are, especially Silvermoon, is so much really, really cool smoke and mirrors. Like the way that they kind of took massive shortcuts to make it look like it's a full breathing city, but in reality there's a lot of just like non-existent space there, and it's just not worth revamping, which is probably why our allied races are starting at 20, is because they don't want to, it doesn't make enough sense to put a lot of development time into revamping those zones, because again, you still end up blowing through them pretty quickly, whereas if you're at end game content, you know, it takes you a good little while to get through leveling zones, not an hour or two sort of thing.
That doesn't make the sense to do like the whole goblin starting zone, you know, six times over, one for each of the races, just to get them from zero to like 15 and then out into the world. It just make it quick, make a short little quest that your current player does to unlock it, and then put them in at level 20.
Yep. So it's always interesting to think about that stuff. And that's kind of why I really love game design and how the amount of tricks that are used to create good experiences or to be able to give the players something and then have enough time left over to create more content. And so it's vile sorcery. It's trickery. It makes some people angry, but it's really cool. It's so cool. And you know, that's why I like talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. But do you guys have anything else to bring to the table?
Nope, just that I'm experiencing the new leveling process and doing it the Iron Man challenge style. And then I'm going to do it once for... I am. And then I'm going to do it once for... Well, not Iron Man style, but I'm going to do it once for each allied race because, you know, got to collect them all.
It's like Pokemon.
So what is Iron Man? Just out of curiosity, real quick.
No talents, no deaths, no gear other than white or gray.
Which,
wow,
with the scaling, has got to be...
ridiculous
rough now. Like, I know because of the way that things were not scaled well that you could cheese a lot until you got up into the more recent content. I can't imagine how tricky that is now. You're a brave man.
I didn't want to say it earlier, but like when I was talking about leveling, I've got 30 characters, more than 30 characters at level 100 or above. Like, I have done my share of leveling. So this is like a new way to challenge myself, because I've blown through dungeons, I've quested, I've done the refer a friend, I've never had an iron.
Seen it all.
You've gotten your money's worth.
You know what?
It's like the hardcore characters in Diablo, which I think people are absolutely insane for doing, but it's one of those that like that gives people the rush that they don't get otherwise because they've seen it all, done it all, and they're bored with the game. And that's what keeps them coming back, is that the challenge of that hardcore content, especially every season.
Fair enough.
I commend you for your efforts. You will definitely have to give us, I hope that you will give us an update down the road if you survive.
Yes, I will. And
your little Iron Man.
What you had said is definitely, it was one of my friends that I used to play with. He said the exact same thing. Is like, boy, you sure get your money's worth out of Warcraft.
That's kind of the best thing about it, is like, for what we, if you think about all of the sub money that you've thrown in over so many years, I've probably thrown more than $1,000 at this game, but I'm coming into my 10th year of playing it and I still love it so much. It's rare that I'm bored, or if I am, I'm not bored for very long, because I always find new ways to keep me entertained. So I think that probably wraps it up for tonight. Our dear lovely listeners, if you guys have more experience than we do right now with the new leveling, definitely feel free to chime in on Twitter at Arcane Analysis. If you're so inclined, you can shoot us an email at thearcana@thebluespro.com. And yeah, we would love to hear from you. Join our Discord.
Woo!
Yes, we still have a Discord. Still hustling the Discords. But I think that'll wrap it up for now. Thank you guys for listening. Bye.
Bye.